That was Dre and Philip Atwell's idea. They wanted to do something like a One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. They wanted it to have that type of feel to it. I mean, the perception of me, I think, in the public eye, and especially Phil's and Dre's perception, is that I'm a little warped and I don't see anything wrong with me. So they wanted to have that type of feel, like a nut house or whatever. And we actually did the scene, and I didn't want to leave the scene. I felt like really at home. I'll probably be there in like 30 years.
Eminem answered the growing barrage of criticism and confrontation in the only way he knew, with his music. He'd previously revealed that there had been immense pressure on him to produce a killer single with which to kick off the campaign for the Marshall Mathers LP. Delivering The Real Slim Shady was the perfect answer at that time, but this hilarious and brilliantly crafted tune had a dual purpose. By putting out such an overtly commercial track, Eminem had reinforced his stature on the music scene. He now felt more adventurous with his choice of future singles material. Eminem now released what had been described in some circles as one of the greatest hip-hop songs of all time, Stan. Typical of the angrier and less optimistic tone of this third album, Stan was his finest lyrical achievement to date. The tale of an obsessed fan's spiralling descent into suicide and the murder of his pregnant girlfriend was essentially a fine radio play. The epistolary way Eminem told the tale, based on actual letters he had received, plus the crafty splicing of samples by the then relatively unknown English chanteurs Dido's angelic vocals, made the track a massive radio smash. The highly cinematic nature of the song also naturally lent itself to producing a striking video. Shot in grainy black and white, the clip was directed by Dr. Dre and Philip Atwell, who also helmed the Real Slim Shady video, and featured Dido herself as the unfortunate girlfriend of Stan. The eerie, depraved tone of the footage melts perfectly with the intensely sad subject matter of the song, and it instantly became an MTV staple and a subsequent worldwide number one hit. This was despite the fact that, in its unadulterated form, the Stan footage was far too shocking for most channels to show before 9 p.m. Once again, much was made of the violence in the song and the heavily censored video. But to the hip-hop purists listening, Stan was yet another fine example of Eminem's prodigious technical ability. The lyrics to the song exhibited his unswerving ability to use what he calls the inside rhyme, namely the skill of putting as many rhyming words into one line as possible. The track also showcased Eminem's talent for adopting various vocal personalities. Elsewhere on this third album, he used 6 different voices in just one phrase of the tune Criminal. Against such vocal and lyrical dexterity, rival rappers were made to seem ordinary. With Stan being one of the finest and most disturbing musical explorations of a world where celebrities are gods, it was perhaps ironic that Eminem himself seemed destined to be inexorably swamped in rampant tabloid speculation. Rumours abounded at this time that one group of fans had sent threats to certain anti-Eminem authorities for opposing the work of a man they called R. Christ. Nonetheless, his critical currency was never higher, and with the inclusion of guest slots on the album by notables such as Snoop Dogg, RBX, Sticky Fingers, Exhibit, Nate Dogg, Bizarre from D12 and Dr. Dre, the Detroit rapper seemed to have pulled a masterstroke again. Applause continued to come in from the most unlikely of sources. English singer Elvis Costello, famed for his guitar-based songcraft, hailed the Marshall Mathers LP as faster, funnier, and in an odd way more truthful than most records. It's up there with the best of The Simpsons, and I mean that as the highest compliment. To be perceived by an acknowledged great lyricist and songwriter in such lofty terms was high praise indeed. So imagine the anxiety felt by Eminem when he lost his precious notebook containing extensive lyrics for future tracks, including many ideas for his forthcoming album project with his friends and fellow Detroit rappers D12. Hilariously, for a man who had made a habit of slinging insults at bubblegum pop stars such as Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera, when he described the lost notebook, he revealed that it had a picture of the wholesome Ms. Spears on the front cover. So keen was he to see the notes returned that a reward was offered and a special phone hotline set up, unfortunately all to no avail. Encouragingly for Eminem, there was no let-up in the record-breaking first-week sales that had seen this latest album replace Snoop Dogg's 1993 Doggy Style as the fastest-selling hip-hop album ever. Colossal numbers of units continued to be shifted for months, keeping the album at the top of the Billboard charts for a remarkable 7 weeks. By Christmas 2000, the Marshall Mathers LP had passed 8 million sales in the US, enjoyed 7 months in the UK's top 10 album listings, and smashed records across Europe, Australasia, and the Far East. Eminem was now, without doubt, a genuinely global superstar. Sold-out tours around the world to support the album reflected his increasingly iconic status. Appropriately, longtime fans agreed that the rash of dates around Christmas 2000, New Year 2001, were the finest the rapper had ever performed. Perhaps driven on by a desire to blow Limp Bizkit and Papa Roach off stage, or maybe just inspired by the ceaseless rounds of controversy and outrage that seemed to follow him everywhere, the Eminem live show was simply superb. Never one to undersell his image, he repeatedly took to the stage complete with serial killer-style ice hockey mask and wielding a hefty and menacing chainsaw. Whether he was surveying the mass crowd from atop his towering loudspeakers or simply plunging into the mosh pit for a bout of manic crowd surfing, Eminem seemed truly alive when on stage. The gigs worked on two levels. His expertise is there for those in the know to spot, with clever and encyclopedic one-liners dropped in from classic hip-hop album tracks. Plus, there were the more pop hit singles to enjoy for the less expert in the audience. For these more recent fans, the hardcore and extreme musical tone of his live show probably came as something of a shock, but Eminem is, after all, a pure hip-hop artist at heart. Fortunately, this string of dates saw no repeat of the chest infection that had blighted some of the dates on the Warped Tour in 1999. As for the itinerant lifestyle, touring was no problem for a man who had been to over 20 different schools by the time he'd reached high school. These dates preceded a period when Eminem was sweeping the board at most of the major music industry award ceremonies. Europe doffed its hat with a brace of MTV Europe Awards. Hip-hop gongs the world over found their way into Eminem's ever more bulging silverware cabinet. And then, most prestigiously of all, he was nominated for several Grammy Awards. Of course, in true Slim Shady style, the actual Grammy Awards themselves would end up being the last thing that anyone was thinking about.